Before we continue on with next pasuk, I want to mention one point in the pasuk before pasuk gimel. The pasuk said, "Vayakom yayne yayne garav vayelech al Ninve kedvar Hashem." He went to Ninve like Hashem said. These words, kedvar Hashem, are seemingly simple. If Hashem told him originally to go, that's what it just said. Hashem, in the pasuk before, Hashem told him, go to Nineveh. And if the pasuk would say, Yaina got up and went to Nineveh, obviously he listened to Hashem, he did what Hashem said. The pshat possibly is that there are two possible reasons why Yaina could have listened to what, could have gone to Nineveh. One is, he was afraid. He saw what happened when he didn't listen the first time. The first time Hashem told him to go, he didn't listen. He got into a lot of trouble. So he could have gone now because he was simply afraid. Another reason why he can go is because he realized he has to listen to Hashem. Not because he was afraid. That's a totally different reason. And the pasuk would seemingly be saying, by Yaakov Yaina, he went now because he did tshuva from his first mistake. And he didn't go now just because he was afraid. He didn't want to get stuck again. He did tshuva and he listened to Hashem. We find this concept in Chumash and Parshas Pekudei. It says when they built the Mishkan, on each thing it says, Kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. And over there the Mefarshim explained that they did it not because they understood this is a good thing to do. They did it simply to listen to Hashem. Sometimes we do things because we understand it's the right way to do, or we're afraid of doing the wrong thing. A much higher level, a bigger madrega, is to do it because Hashem said. That's it. No chachmas, nothing else. Nothing else to take into consideration besides that this is the word of Hashem, this is the will of Hashem, and that's why I'm doing it. And that's what the pasuk is saying here about Yaina. Yaina did it to listen to the Dvar Hashem. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Dalet. Vayachal Yaina, and Yaina began, Yaina started, that is the Pasuk Pshat, Yaina started Lava Beer, he started to go into the city, Mahalach Yom Echad, a going of one day. It's Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet. He went one day. The Pasuk before said that Nineveh was a city the size of 3 days, took 3 days to walk. He went in one day, and for one day, the simple pshat is that he did not say anything. And then after a day, Vayikra, and he called out, Vayayim, and he said, Oid Arbarim Yom, another 40 days, the Ninveh Napachas, Ninveh will be turned over. So that is the Pasuk Pshat that he waited a day. He didn't say anything right away. He waited a day until he said something. And the simple Pshat would be because he wanted to get to the middle of the city one day in. It's pretty much towards the center. And then the word would get around much quicker. So he went to some place to a more central area. And then he made his announcement. Some of us say that once he made the announcement, people heard, and people there were rotsim, there were those that had fast horses, and they went all over the city, so that within that day the message got all around. The other mafarshim now learn that the Radak learns that the pasuk is saying he started going into the city, and a whole day, as he went on, a whole day, he was making his announcement, wherever he went. Every street he went, every block he went, he said, I have an announcement. He made his announcement, went another block, and made the announcement again. So, not that he waited till the end of the day to make his announcement, but he started going into the city, and as he went, Vayikra Vayomer, as he went, he made his announcement. So there's a question.
Oh,
very good, yes. Right. Yes. That's next point to get to, right? the fact that we find here that 40 days, the number 40, reminds us of the Mabul. Now, it's a bit different than the Mabul, because the Mabul, the punishment was 40 days, and here, the punishment, if it would have been about a minute. Doesn't take Hashem long to turn over the city. But he gave them 40 days to contemplate and 40 days to do tshuva. But some explain that by giving a number 40 days, that would remind them about the Mabul. As in those days, even the Goyim, Ninveh was the city of Goyim, but they all believed, or we know from the Torah, they believed this was Pashat, this was simple history. Everyone believed in it. It wasn't, people thought that it was some made-up Bible stories. This was real. And they knew about it. And I guess everyone knew that the Mabul was 40 days. And it reminded them, oh, Hashem could do these things. Hashem does do these things. Okay. Again, as we mentioned yesterday, sometimes the pasuk seems to be a bit redundant, a bit repetitious. Vayikra vayomer, he called out and he said. This is seemingly, again, it's a repetition. It would say vayikra and he called out, oyd abraham yom, another 40 days. Or it could have just said vayomer and he said. What is the meaning of vayikra, he called out, vayomer and he said? So this, we can understand that the meaning of vayomer, he said, would be that this is a statement he made. Vayikra sounds more like a proclamation. He was making, he had an announcement, he called out. And really this message that Yoina was giving was a call to tshuva. It wasn't just a statement, this is what's happening, it was a call to tshuva. If he would have said just, maybe he's not calling for tshuva, he's letting them know what's going to happen. Vayikra would sound like it's a call, he called out. And the reason for the call was because the purpose of this message, purpose of what he's saying, is to get the people of Nineveh to change what they're doing and do tshuva. By Yoyman, he said, is that he had exact words which he had to say. Sometimes Hashem could tell a Navi, get Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, and the Navi could maybe use his own words. Or a Navi, even when a Navi gets the Nevuah, Nevuah sometimes is in a way that the Navi has to translate it according to his understanding. Over here, the Mefarshim explain that Yoina had to say these exact words. Oyd Abraham Yoim v'Ninveh Napachas, Ninveh will turn over. Yoina could not say v'Ninveh Nechreves, Ninveh will be destroyed. He had to say Ninveh will be turned over. And the reason for this is because the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains that we all know that the end of the story was Ninveh was not destroyed. They did tshuva and Ninveh was not destroyed. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if Hashem sends a Navi and tells them that, give a message, something bad is going to happen, and then the people do tshuva, and Hashem changes his mind, which Hashem will do that. If Hashem sends a Navi to say something good will happen, then the rule is Hashem will never change his mind. Even if the people change their actions, if Hashem promised good, the good has to happen. If Hashem promises bad, Hashem says, okay, if you change your ways, I will change also. But if Hashem does change his way, after he told the Navi to say something, Hashem will let the Navi know about it. Hashem will tell the Navi, what I told you is changed, what's going to happen, what I said will happen, the bad that's supposed to happen won't happen. So the Gemara asks, by Yoina we don't find that Hashem told Yoina any change. So the Gemara says, there was no change. Ninveh Napachas, Ninveh will turn around, turn over, can have two meanings. There could be the physical meaning physically, the city of Nineveh will physically turn over, and that would have been, if it would have been, a punishment. But napachas could also mean that the people will turn over. The people will change. That the meaning of napachas can be in a spiritual way. The city will turn over spiritually. Instead of being a city of chamos, of stealing, of robbery, of bad actions, they will become a city of good actions. So the nevuah, the prophecy of Yaina, Hashem did not keep his word. He kept his word 100%. The question is, in which way would this nevuah, in which way would this prophecy end up happening? So that's why Hashem told Yaina, he has to say these words exactly. Nineveh napachas, Nineveh will turn over. Because Hashem was not planning on changing this nevuah. This Nineveh is going to turn over. It will either turn over physically, or it will turn over spiritually. That was why the words that Hashem, these words, and only these words, were the words which Yaina had to say. Very good. Okay. So this was Yaina's prophecy. This was his message to the people of Nineveh. There's going to be a turnover. Vayaminu anshei Nineveh be'elokim. The people of Nineveh believed in Hashem. Vayikru utzayim. The simple meaning of Vayikru utzayim, and they called a fast. Vayibul shusakim. And they put on, they dressed in sackcloth, migdailam, from the big ones, the big people, alktanam, until the small ones, the young ones. Now, here we find something which would seemingly be fascinating. You have a city of people who are used to who were doing their ways, they're going their way. Like the pasuk says, there was a lot of robbery going on. They were doing things like the people in the Dor HaMabul, and that's why they got this remembrance, this reminder of 40 days like the Mabul. The city would be turned over, like we find by Sodom and Amora, because their actions were like the people of Sodom and Amora. Comes in this stranger from a different religion, and he's obviously Jewish. He starts making these announcements, these prophecies. Why do they believe him? How do they know to believe him? Why would they believe him? We, as Jews, know we have a mitzvah in the Torah to believe an Ovi. A prophet comes and says something, we're commanded to listen to him. If someone from a different religion would come and start expounding to us on how we have to change, of course we don't listen.
Can we assume that what you said yesterday, that since they had been very righteous, I'm assuming they did the seven mitzvahs of Noah, so because of that they would have been familiar with
there's Navi, it's possible, right? If they had been, all right, according to the Mepharshim, Devin Ezra learns that they had been good for a long time, and in that case, it would be possible that they, right, it was a more recent thing, and that's why they believed them, right? That's one good answer, very good. There are some Mepharshim, the Radak, and that Radak says that the people from the boat, who were on the boat together with Yaina, were from Nineveh. They were there, and when this Yaina came, they said, "Oh, we know him, and we know exactly that he's a real true prophet," because they knew the whole story. They were there. They were there when they realized, obviously, from the whole story that happened on the ship, how Yaina was supposed to come say his prophecy and how he ran away. How Hashem punished him, they saw that very clearly. And because of them, that's why the people believed Yaina, because they had from their own people who said this is a true story. So that would make it a little bit easier to understand. There are Madrashim, as brought in a very interesting Balaturim in Chumash and Parashas B'Shalach. That says has a very interesting thought over here. In Parshas B'Shalach, we say it every day in davening and Shachris, right before Az Yashir, we talk about the pasuk says that Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdei, the Bnei Yisrael, they believed in Hashem. Baal Turim over there brings that there are two places where we find this word Vayaminu, and they believed. One is in Parshas B'Shalach, the Jews believed in Hashem and in Moshe Rabbeinu. The second place is this pasuk right here. Vayaminu anshei Nineveh, the people of Nineveh believed in Hashem. So Baal Turim explains that there are Madrashim that say that Paroi was the only one of the Mitzrayim who did not drown in the Yamsuf. He was saved. He was saved from the Yamsuf. What happened to him? Well, he went to Nineveh, and he became the king in Nineveh. Here we're having some couple of hundred years later, one major says it was 500 years, maybe it was a little bit more, like we mentioned yesterday. And he went to Nineveh, and he was the king in Nineveh. And now, when a Navi came, this Pari remembered what happened when the Navi comes. He had experience. So, nothing like good experience. He remembered it, and he was the one, even though it says the Melech first heard about it afterwards, but I guess he had given over his experiences. And the people of Nineveh knew to listen to a Jewish Navi because they knew from their king, they knew from Pari. So here we have maybe three possible reasons why they listened. One is because they were really good people who just recently went wrong. And therefore, when a Navi came to remind them of their ways, how they should be, they accepted. The second is because the people who were on the ship with Yaina were there, and they told the people of Nineveh, we have to listen to him, he's a true prophet. And the third, we're saying from the Baal Turim and the other Midrashim, that the king here was Pari. Okay. The pasuk says Vayikru Utsaim, which simply means that they called a fast. We do find two words which are used for the word fast. One is tzaim and one is tainus. When we say Anenu on a fast day, in Shemoneh Esrei, we say Anenu Hashem b'yoyim on the day of tzaim tanisenu, which would seemingly be repetitious. Tzaim is a fast and tainus is a fast. So there's a few ways how to go here, but the Malbum explains that the word tzaim does not, in its translation, mean a fast day. The word tzaim, he says, is a word which translates to coming together. He brings proof to this. And the word tzaim refers to people who come together to make a decision how to do tshuva. That is the translation of the word tzaim. It's a coming together. Now, usually when they would come together for such a purpose, they would fast. Because in order to bring themselves in the right mode of tshuva and to turn themselves on, to get themselves going, to do tshuva correctly, fasting helps for that. But the translation of tzayim, according to the Malba, means that they got together to do tshuva.
Can I assume you're basing that on Tanis, where the public Tanis is first part of the day is supposed to be where you review the midas of the year?
He doesn't bring that, but it's possible, yeah. I didn't, that's what they got together for. They got together to see how they can make things better. Vayilbushu sakim, what's the purpose of sackcloth? So this, the Mefarshim explain, it brings to achna, it brings to anivus, it brings to humbleness, it brings to letting one be, realizing that I'm wrong and I have to change my ways. And so here we have that the people in Nineveh, they believed that what Yaina said, and they right away accepted, and they're looking to change, and they're looking to be machniah themselves, looking to themselves to put themselves under the rule of Hashem. Migdolim v'ad ktanim, from the big ones to the small ones. Now, this that the we have to know what does Ktana mean? Does Ktana mean, does Gdola mean the important people, and Ktana means the plain regular people? Then it's, we understand why everyone had to do it. If Ktana means the young ones, like even the young, meaning even the young children, even from the biggest, from the oldest to the youngest, meaning even young babies, then we would have to know what is the purpose of young babies getting dressed in sackcloth. They didn't do anything wrong, and they're not, the young babies are not going to do tshuva. We don't. So this could possibly be understood that it was mainly to get the adults turned on. If the tendency by adults, if they see children in pain, they see children in they'll be dressed in sackcloth, which is uncomfortable, it's rough, that will help the adults do tshuva correctly. The fact that they see, they're realizing what the children are going to have to go through. Sometimes it's hard for people to change their ways. You come to a person, you come to an adult, he should change his ways. If not, he'll get punished. He might say, I'm willing to accept the punishment. We mentioned this yesterday from the Mishnah Berurah. I might, maybe I'm gonna get punished, but it's too difficult for me to change my ways. When he sees that innocent children, he realizes that innocent children are gonna get punished. That makes it easier. Listen, I can't do this. I can't have it on my responsibility that innocent children should get punished too. And that would help spur the adult to do the correct tshuva.
Same thing with the hammer,
right,
and its own,
right,
it's a little,
okay,
it's a little much,
right. So we'll hopefully get to that, right. That is correct. Right. At the moment we're just discussing what it says here. We'll see. This was right now. This is what the people did on their own. Later on, the king made a proclamation, and he said even more, and that will have to be understood. Yes, that is a excellent point. Okay, so this is what the people did right when they heard what Yonah said. They did this before anything came from the king. They understood on their own, this is what must be done. The pasuk goes on. Pasuk vav, Vayigah ha-davar, and the word reached El Melech Nineveh, to the king of Nineveh, who he said was possibly Pari. Vayakom mekisay, and he stood up from his throne. Vayaver Adarte Me'olov, and he took off his royal clothing. Adarte means important royal clothing. He took it off. He took that off. Vayechasak, and he put on sackcloth. Vayeshev al ha'efer, and he sat on ashes. So some Mefarshim explain Vayeshev al ha'efer. Efer is ashes, which comes from when something was burnt. That he understood that he went further than the people of the city. The people of the city put on sackcloth. He sat on Afer, meaning he looked at it as if it's all over. It's as if the city is destroyed already. That's ashes. Ashes is means something already got burnt. So he looked at it that the city is already burnt, and my kingdom is now a kingdom of ashes. Instead of sitting on his throne, the king sitting on ashes means my city is like, it's burnt. He looked at it like it's all over. And this was even a stronger call. He understood much more the danger here and how this has to provoke and promote tshuva. Okay. Vayazek. Vayazek, Rashi explains, means there was a command and a proclamation. Vayomer b'Ninveh, and it was said in Ninveh, Mitam ha-melech u'gdolov, that this was the king and his Gedolov means his whole cabinet. This was the advice. This is being given up on the advice of the king and his cabinet. Lemer, to say it, let everyone know, Ha'odom v'ha'behemah, the people and the behemoths, the animals. Ha'bokar, the cattle, v'ha'tzoin, and the sheep. Al yitamu mu'uma, they should not taste anything. Al yiru, they shouldn't pasture. Umayim al yishtu, and they should not drink any water. Before we explain this, let's go on to the next passage because it goes together. V'yiskasu sakim ha'odah ba'behema, the people and the behemoths should dress in sackcloth. V'yikru el elokim, they should call out to Hashem b'chazka, which this word b'chazka, we'll have to see what it means. The translation is with strength. What does it mean to call out with strength? We'll have to see. They should call out to Hashem with strength. V'yashuvu ish midarkei hara, each person should return, should go back, should do tshuva from his bad ways. U'minachamos, from the robbery, asher b'chapeyem, which is in their hands. Okay, so this was the pretty much the completion of the tshuva of what Nineveh did. Now, the king said to do, seemingly some of it was the same as the people decided on their own, but the king did add on things here. Like mentioned before, he added on that the behemoths should also dress in sackcloth. Not only did the people fast, but the behemoths, the animals, also shouldn't eat and drink. Now, what is the purpose of this? What is the purpose of animals not eating and drinking? Animals are not going to do tshuva. So what is the purpose of getting the animals involved here? It would seemingly be it's just paying to animals. Seems to be a meaningless action here, like totally not understanding what's supposed to be going on. What is the purpose of all this?
Also, is there a distinction in Zion where it says Behema Bokar Hatzov, but the Chesed only says Behema?
I see. There is a question. Why does it say, why in Pasuk Zion does it say Bokar Hatzov when it should be really included in Behema already? That needs explanation.
Because he has a
klal prat. Klal prat, yeah, but there's no. Right, but then aim b'klal al masher prat, and then it will be mean only bakar and sign. Okay, so I guess we only have a few minutes left here. We're not going to be able to finish this whole thing today. Hopefully, we can still continue tomorrow a little bit. But let's just get one point here. There's a Rashi, and everyone doesn't have Rashi here, but so Rashi, which actually brings the Gemara, that the Gemara says that what they did with the animals is that they separated the mothers from the children. Meaning they did not actually dress them in sackcloth. Iskasu sakim adam, the people dress in sackcloth. The Gemara says, what did they do with the animals? The animals, they actually did something else. Asru imoyis levad v'avladis levad. They tied up the mother separately and the children separately. And others learned that they put sackcloth on the breasts of the mothers, so that the young animals would not be able to eat. And then they came to Hashem and they said, "Amru lefanov." They told Hashem. This is Rashi brings it here, and it's a Gemara in Tainus. They said, "Ribbono shel olam." Oh, I see you learned Tainus. Maybe you just had this. Oh, you learned. Oh, very good. Oh. Im ein atem merachem aleinu. If you're not going to have pity on us, ein onu merachem aleinu, we're not going to have pity on the animals. Rashi says, what did they mean with this? Rashi in the Gemara explains, they meant to say, just like you tell us to have pity on animals, and you have pity on animals, like the pasuk says, we say it in Ashrei, Rachamav al kol ma'asov. Hashem has pity on all his creations. So Hashem has pity on animals too. Kein terachem aleinu, have pity on us like you have pity on animals. And that was what they were coming to say with these actions, by making the animals in pain. They said, Hashem, you don't want this. So they were trying to, like you said, they were trying to make tzar b'alechayim. They were trying to put the animals in pain. Say, Hashem, this is not what you want. You don't want animals to be in pain. Well, why is that? Because you have pity. Well, if you have pity on them, have pity on us too. What do you say? Is that a valid complaint? That's to say, just like Hashem should have pity on animals, you should have pity on them? Well, to one extent, what?
So the only question on that is the Gemara that says that Omer Akansi for Yagira from Dacha Mishaskin also. I mean, you're not supposed to say that.
You know? Right. Well, that's for a different reason. That's because you're not supposed to say that that we're doing the mitzvahs because of Hashem's having rachmanis. Hashem's pity about Hashem.
Well, see, if Hashem destroys the city, what's going to happen to the animals?
Right, so maybe that was what they were saying. They were saying, have pity just on animals. At least have pity on the animals. That's what you're saying. Don't do it because of the animals. See, so you mean...
It's like gracious, so, the animals are corrupted because of man, so what did they do wrong?
Okay, this is all good, very, very good thoughts, yeah. So you're saying that Hashem should have pity on the people because of the animals. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying. Rashi in the Gemara would seem to say, Kein terachem aleinu, just like you have pity on animals, have pity on us. Your upshot would be a little bit different, that once you're having pity on animals, have pity on us too. That's like the story with there's a king who once came to Alexander the Great and he asked him how he would judge in certain cases, and he told him his corrupt way of judging. So the person asked, "Do you have animals around here?" He said, "Yeah, why? Because I'm wondering why the sun comes up here and why it rains. Because if the way people act, you don't deserve it. But if you have animals, at least they deserve it." So that would be what you're saying. Yeah. But over here it seems that they were saying Hashem should have pity on them too, and they don't seem to really deserve much pity. So it would seemingly be that they were saying we're at least like animals, and some of us say that they realize that their actions is that they're acting like animals, and that's what they were trying to hint at, that we realize what we're doing wrong, we realize we're acting like animals, but at least have pity on us like animals. But we'll have to see if that is really a good complaint or not, because an animal acts like its teva, acts like its normal being. That's what an animal is. And a person is supposed to know better. Maybe a person is supposed to know better, should know better, and does not deserve to be treated like an animal. So, but this was their tefila to Hashem, or their complaint to Hashem, that Hashem should at least treat them like animals. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop now.